I know it's here somewhere. Finally.
Oh, it's time for the doctor. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And I think this may be a first on this show. I'm wearing a black shirt. I don't normally wear black shirts on the show. I don't know why. I have this black shirt. I've worn it quite a bit to work, but I haven't ever worn it on the show as far as I know. It looks like I have this disembodied head floating. Not really. But hey. Yes. Anyway, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. We also are, of course, proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters, because this is the internet, and we are broadcasting. Yes. You knew that, didn't you? Okay, of course, my tablet decided to go to sleep on me because I was getting a slow start starting the show. Come back, tablet. Wake up. You too. Wake up. Okay. First item this week on the show, Red Hat Fedora. Now, in case you're not aware, that back there is a red hat. Yes, and it's a fedora. I might as well get it since I'm talking about Red Hat Fedora. This is a red hat, and it is a fedora, indeed. It's just a little small, but, you know, for me. Because I have a very large head. It's not the hat's fault. Anyway, so, red hat, fedora. We'll put it back here. Yes, it goes with the other red hat. It's a hat that has a red hat logo on it. Not a fedora, though. Just a hat. But anyway, I digress. The point is, Red Hat Fedora turns 10. It's 10 years old. Fedora, of course, is Red Hat's open source community version, where they try all the lovely, interesting, technical, cool stuff before it ever makes it into Red Hat Enterprise Linux. So, some might say that Red Hat Fedora is what the original Red Hat Linux was when it first came out. I'd have to go along with that to a certain extent. Some of you may not know this. Matter of fact, a large number of you probably don't know this. But I was one of the first 100 customers of Red Hat. They're based right here in North Carolina. I was jazzed about that. And I bought Red Hat Linux early on. And they actually sent me a letter saying, whoa, you're one of our first 100 customers. So that was cool. I kept the letter. I like that. Anyway, point is, back then, back in the day, yeah, back there a long time ago, and around 1996, I think it was, I bought Red Hat Linux, and it was much like Fedora is today. It was a community-inspired resource of goodness for Linux. And I've pretty much been using Red Hat ever since. Although Fedora, I used Fedora for a good while at work, and then I switched to Linux Mint, which I also like a lot. So between the two, it's kind of 50-50 on which one. I probably lean a little toward Linux Mint these days, but still, I like them both for client-side, so to speak, desktop operating systems. Anyway, it was in 2003 that Red Hat decided to drop its low-end Linux desktop distribution, Red Hat Linux, in favor of Red Hat Enterprise Linux, which is their full-blown server, huge production version. And they've been doing very well with that. We use it at work, for instance, and I support Red Hat Enterprise Linux there, along with SUSE and Ubuntu and CentOS and a few other flavors of Linux. But anyway, they're doing quite well.
Whoa!
Boy, Fred, you're getting in there early, aren't you? We just started the show. But that's okay. It's okay. I'm going with the flow. I'm just going with the flow. So, Geek Software of the Week is what Fred's trying to tell us about. Good old Fred. Anyway, Geek Software of the Week this week is Incognito Filter. What? Yes, Incognito Filter for Chrome. Now, this is a Chrome plugin. I don't normally do Chrome plugins as Geek Software of the Weeks, but there are two things at work here. One is you should be using Chrome. It's the safest browser out there. Okay? So you should be using Chrome. And as long as you're going to use Chrome, if you want to be really, really, really safe and anonymous, anonymous, I say things like that just for the fun of it. You know, I like the way it rolls off my tongue. Anonymous. Anyway, so, but in order to be fully anonymous on Chrome, you can use this plugin, Incognito Filter. It will turn off cookies. It will turn off tracking. It will turn off everything. It will make you look invisible to the interwebs. Yes. Now, what I particularly like to use it for, I don't usually go sneaking around the internet. You know, normally, I don't. But where it comes in handy is if you want to see, this sounds really silly, but it's true. I've got a reason for it. If you want to Google yourself on the internet and see you the way other people see you, okay? So in other words, what are your real results? Because if you are logged into your account and you have entered yourself into Google search engines and you search for yourself, Google will show you these lovely results for yourself, and it may not be what other people see when they go on the web. Yes, tricky. So by rendering yourself incognito, you can then Google yourself and see what other people see about you. Yes. So, for instance, if you Google dr.bill space B-A-I-L-E-Y, Dr. Bill Bailey, as it says on the screen, if you did use that search phrase, you will find that I will come up number one, even if I'm anonymized, if I go incognito. You say, well, of course, Dr. Bill, you're looking up yourself with your, even with your superlative doctor. Start to say rank. That's not it. Rank. No. Anyway, of course it's going to find me, but it finds the site that I'm interested in them finding, which is the main root site. Root. Speaking of which, check it out. This is the new look of drbillbailey.net. I just got through changing it. I changed it up. It's all nice and moderner. Boy, I'm really going after the words this week. I'm corrupting words. Anyway, it's more modern and it leans more toward the Dr. Bill network of shows as opposed to a general purpose site. So, check it out. It's actually quite cool. It's the one place that you can go to see all of my shows and listen to all of my shows, because I do audio and video netcast, except, of course, our Roku channel. If you have Roku, you should go ahead and subscribe to the drbillbailey.net netcast channel. I'm telling you. I had a guy tell me recently, as a matter of fact, I got an email from this guy. And he said, Dr. Bill, I ran across your Roku channel, which is cool that he actually ran across that first. So he found the Roku channel and he says, I looked at your website and I saw the initials after your name and I saw the certifications you had and I saw the experience you had. And I have one question. How did you do it? As I've said before, and as Fred has pointed out, I am a bit of an overachiever when it comes to certain things. Yes. Slightly off kilter. But makes for an interesting time. No, when I get interested in something, I dive into it, and I grab it and won't let it go until it succumbs to my will. Yes. Well, anyway, so that's how I did it. To be honest, I actually talked to a buddy of mine at work, the same buddy, by the way, that thinks Microsoft walks on water and he has completely drunk the Kool-Aid and is doomed to be a Microsoftie forever. That guy. Same guy. Anyway, that guy, he said, he and I talked about, you know, how did we get where we are? Because we're both old geezers. Yes. In the computer industry, we're both geezers. So, we were talking about it. How did we get where we got? What manner of thing did we do to get there? And we both agreed on something important. And that is this. Humans. Well, actually, he didn't say that. I said that. But humans. People who mentor you. You remember I talked once before about mentor. And Captain Marvel, Billy Batson. Yes, that's them there. Anyway, so I talked about them before, but mentor, other than being an old gray-bearded dude or gray-haired dude, he didn't have a beard, but he was gray-haired. I have a beard, but anyway, that I digress. The point is, mentors, people that you respect and that you know they know their stuff and are willing to share and enjoy, like on Hitchhikers. If you haven't read the book, you should read the book and read about the Sirius Cybernetics Corporation and share and enjoy. That was their motto. Yes. Anyway, people who will share their knowledge with you are invaluable to mentor you and to you learn how to be a useful member of society, or in this case, a useful member of geekery. It's important stuff. All the letters in the superlatives in the, you know, paper stuff isn't as important as the humans that have taught you and have shared their knowledge. One of my dear mentors was not mentor, no. It was Matthew Shope, friend of mine from way back, actually way, way back, high school, on from there. And he shared much with me when it came to techery and geekery. Yes. Now, he got out of it. He became a human resources dude. What are you going to do? But while he was still a geek, well, he's still a geek, but you know what I'm saying. Wasn't a professional geek anymore. Anyway, during that period of time, he trained me. He taught me. He beat me regularly. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. Anyway, he showed me the way when it comes to geekery. And it was fun. And I had great fun doing it. Learning and, you know, expanding my mind. It's gotten quite expansive. Yes, Fred. Perhaps. Anyway. Fred may have a point there. Anyway, the point is, Geek Software of the Week is the incognito filter. And I answered the guy's question. Mentors, learn from people you know. Yes, and that know something. If they don't know anything, don't pay attention. Just go and zone out. You know what I'm saying? Anyway. All right. Have you noticed our new features on the website? Now, I'm not talking about the DrBillBailey.net website that I just redid. Not that one. I'm talking, of course, about the blog. The blog, of course, is DrBill.tv, D-R-B-I-L-L.tv, as it says there on the screen. Go there and you will find new features. New features. I like the trumpet. I don't know why. I just like doing it. Anyway, new features like, there's two major new features. You should take advantage of both. One is to send me a voicemail right there on the web. All you have to do is have a microphone or a headset, put it on, click on the word balloon with the telephone on it, one of those newfangled telephones. You click on that image, a pop-up will pop up, assuming you haven't blocked pop-ups, and then it won't work. But anyway, if you allow pop-ups on this page, it will come up, and you can then click some buttons and send me a voicemail right there on the website. How cool is that? And if you send me a voicemail and it's nice and clean and cheerful, you know, in other words, nobody going, rah, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm just going to go delete. You know what I'm saying? But if it's a useful question or comment or whatever, you might hear it right here on the show. How cool is that? So take advantage of the voicemail thing. It's cool. The other thing here is perhaps just as important, and that is the DrBill.TV weekly email newsletter. Newsletter. Yes, you can fill in your email address correctly. No spaces. Your actual email address. And click subscribe. Then you will get an email saying, are you sure? If you're sure, click this link. And it will then approve it. And you will be giving me permission to send you a newsletter each week that will summarize all of what's been going on the blog between shows. You know what I'm saying? So, take advantage of that. That's a good thing. And it's, you know, it's a new feature. And I'm kind of, well, it's not brand new, but it's, I'm highlighting it, okay? There you go. So that's two of our brand new features. Next item. We're just zipping through the show this week. Check to see if your Adobe password was compromised. Now, here's the thing. Somebody hacked the Adobe site. And if you've ever signed up for anything Adobe-ish, you have probably had to create an account. And if you created an account, you probably used a password because you have to set up a password to create the account. The problem is that somebody hacked into Adobe's site and stole 150 million passwords. Now, where it gets to be a real issue is if you are using the same password on the Adobe site that you're using, let's say, on your banking site. So now, if they hacked you and got your information, they have your name, they have your email address, and they have your password. So you should be going out changing your password. You'd be doing that regularly anyway, okay? But if you're using the same password, you could be in big trouble. So if you really want to know, oh no, did they get my username and password and all that stuff? Well, now you can know. There's a link here. I'll put it up on the screen too. It's http://adobe.cynic.ol. I like that. If you're cynical about Adobe, you can remember it easily. It's adobe.cynic.al. Cynical. Yeah. So adobe.cynical, like it says there on the screen. Go there, enter in your email address like you would have entered it on Adobe's site. Hit the button and it will come back and say, oh, that's okay. They didn't get yours. Or, dude, you have been pwned. Okay, so you'll know. You may not like the answer, but you'll know. There you go. So that's good that they came up with a way, well, this guy came up with a way to help you find out whether or not you have been compromised. Bummer. I wasn't, by the way. I was fine. I think it's probably because I signed up with Adobe so long ago, they just completely wiped me from the system or something. 150 million, and what are the chances I wasn't one of the 150 million? But I wasn't. And neither was my wife, which is a good thing. Both of us are safe, as far as Adobe's concerned. So, anyway. Last item for this week. Like I said, it was going to be a... We're going to zing through this show. And that is that high-end DSLR, which is digital single lens reflex cameras. Now, I go back a long, long way when it comes to photography. I have, matter of fact, in the shelf right in front of me, over there on the other side of the room, I have several Nikons and just Pentax. I don't think I have a Canon, but I've got several old style analog film type cameras, which of course I don't use anymore. I'm reaching in my pocket to see if I have my phone. I typically use my phone, which is kind of the problem here for these high-end DSLR folks, is the Nikons of the world and the Canons of the world and the people that are making these high-end cameras like I picture here. It's really cool, by the way. It's a Nikon. My favorite camera, Nikons are. I personally have a Nikon digital camera. It isn't a DSLR, because it's not a single lens reflex. It has a single lens, but it is not a reflex where the mirror jumps up out of the way. Technical. But anyway, it's a cool camera. So, smartphones such as HTC, Nokia, and Samsung have made the point to build powerful cameras into their mobile devices. I mean, my new LG has a 14 megapixel camera. Dude, which is pretty cool. It's an LG Optimus Pro, as I pointed out before, and it has a 14 megapixel camera. Anyway, many of today's leading smartphones not only offer high megapixel counts, but astounding software that lets them shoot in a variety of different modes. The appeal of camera-equipped smartphones has led to a decline in point-and-shoot camera sales for some time, and now it appears that these Uber devices are impacting sales of high-end professional cameras, too. I mean, if you could put your phone in your pocket and whip it out and snap a picture, and it's just as good as your digital DSLR, hard to say, why would you carry this big, bulky, cool-looking, awesome camera around with you? Just saying. So, research firm IDC predicts that shipments of what it calls interchangeable lens cameras will drop 9.1% from 19.1 million last year to 17.4 million this year. That's still a lot of cameras, guys. But anyway, at the same time, Canon and Nikon, the leading DSLR makers, have been forced to lower forecasts for this year. Further, Tamron, a third-party maker of lenses, boy, they've been around a long time. Anyway, they saw shipments slump by as much as 22% during the first three quarters, according to the Wall Street Journal. Wow. So the world is changing yet again. First, we lost analog film-type cameras to digital. Now, digital cameras themselves may be going the way of the buggy whip because of the phones being so smart. Not to mention, like my Nexus 10 here that I'm using to do the show, it has a hugely cool camera built into it. So, I mean, dude, you know, you got cameras everywhere. Actually, that's kind of a problem because you got cameras everywhere. It's hard to have a private life because people are shooting your picture all the time, particularly people that come up to me and go, "Oh, look, Santa Claus." And make my picture. I try to look jolly. But anyway. Around Christmas time, kids love to point at me and go, "Look, Santa Claus, Mommy!" If they ask me, I usually tell them that I'm taking a break. You know, I'm just kind of chilling. And that they'd better be good. Yes. So anyway, I had somebody send me a YouTube comment message one time. Ooh, look, Santa Claus doing tech news. Okay, well, made somebody's day. I didn't mind. Anyway, the point is, that's it for this week. Trust you enjoyed the show. I'm actually quite jazzed about my studio. It's really come together nicely. I love it when a plan comes together. To quote Hannibal on the A-Team. So, remember until next time that the doctor is out of here. Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.